It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Happy Waiver Wednesday to all of you who celebrate.
Should I be closing my tabs here of transactions on Yahoo?
You want to talk it through? Why you spent what you spent? Why you did what you did? Let's talk about what you got and what you didn't get. Let's talk about your free agent offers that hit and that didn't. If you spent too much money, we'll be here to talk you down.
Your league is living under a rock if he is still available.
It's worth a flyer. It's one of those, if anybody's going to make that mistake, it's going to be me.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the Home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, wear a jacket today. Shorts report? Pants.
Pants.
Easily.
Shorts.
Pants. No. What? Get out of here.
No, I'm just kidding.
It was 30 when I left my house. 30.
I was looking for the snow brush. I had ice on my windshield. Had to scrape it.
Yeah.
I gotta get back in the mode of our automatic car start 10 minutes before.
Yep, I did that. The problem I run into, sometimes I hit the automatic car start, and then I am toiling in the house long enough that I get out to the car, and it's stopped.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think it's got a timer. It still is a little bit warmed up, but feels like I've lost, you know, precious moments
to
potentially stay warm. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Josh Schmidt producing. Howdy. It's Wednesday.
Waiver Wednesday. I did get a guy in waivers. Guillotine. We're still both going?
We are still both going in Guillotine, yep.
Drake London.
You got him.
Welcome to the squad, Drake London.
There you go. Very nice.
Can't go home with that much money in your pocket.
I'm at the stage of Guillotine in two leagues where my teams are squads, so I wait for Waiver Wednesday to clear, and then I pick up a guy for free, like Brian Thomas Jr. just added to my bench for free.
Yep.
You know, like he's probably worth free now.
You're also, if you play Guillotine, you're probably at the point, like our league, where there are guys that would have been drafted in like the first three rounds that are starting to become available if they're struggling. Like DJ Moore, just available.
Yeah.
And he's not been great. In fact, he's probably been bad, right? Because the Bears are bad.
Yeah.
But like DJ Moore, who would not be available in like any other league, is just like, oh, he's just sitting out there. Nobody bid on him. Nobody's picked him up. Maybe someone will by the, you know, this morning. But
here's a couple names for you. Like Marvin Harrison Jr. went for $23 on a $1,000 budget.
Uh-oh.
In Guillotine.
Did I bid too much for Drake London? I think I probably did. I had $700 left. Yeah. I had to start spending it.
So. Zay Flowers, $25.
Yeah.
You know, like, come on. So The name of the Guillotine world is, if you make it this far, this is when it gets cheaper.
Yeah.
And this is where, if you do have money left over and you have a squad, you really got to start looking at schedules and hone in your finishing team. Like, what's the team you're playing in the last 2-3 weeks of the season?
It almost becomes like daily fantasy at the end.
Very much so. Very much so. So to anyone still alive in Guillotine, I'm alive in 2 out of 3. And the other one, I was out in week one. That's Guillotine life.
Yeah.
So anyway. So good morning, everybody. Stay warm. We've got a full show. We don't really call it Buffalo Bills Football Wednesday, but given everything we've got coming today, we probably could. Sal will come up at 7. We'll get the latest from One Bills Drive about injuries, what we're watching this week. Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast, we talked to him at 7:30. We are going to do the dance again with Carrington Harrison, who talks Chiefs in Kansas City. I'm going on 2 different Chiefs shows tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
This is the dance. No, I'll tell you this. You know, Bills and Chiefs fans, even though the Chiefs have the Bills number in the playoffs, and maybe more Bills fans would know this better than me that have gone to these games recently, The respect between the fan bases, is that a thing we are still doing? Because what I would say is if you think about sports towns, Kansas City has the Royals and the Chiefs, and we've got, you know, the Bills and the Sabres.
Right.
They've effectively, sure.
It's a two-team town.
Right. There are fans there that are probably St. Louis fans for the, I don't know if they're Blues
fans.
Yeah. Whatever. The point is.
They don't really have a basketball team nearby.
Yeah, it's not exactly.
The Pacers, I guess.
Oklahoma City, who knows. It's not exactly a metropolis where, you know, the Jets and the Giants exist and the Red Sox and the Bruins.
Right.
And the one market that I go on the most, whenever the Bills are playing a game, you know how this works. Like, we'll get calls. Hey, can you come on and talk about the Bills? Kansas City calls me more than anybody to talk about the games.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's because the games are big. But when the Bills trade for Amari Cooper, how many different places called to talk about that trade? I don't know, but Kansas City was one of them. Mm-hmm. It's always these stations in Kansas City that want to talk about it. They are, they're whether they're up on their own team and their pursuit of a third straight Super Bowl, or they're paying attention to the Bills, however you want to kind of slice that, they are engaged. As engaged in their Chiefs' life as we are in Bill's life. And, you know, to some point, that's probably respectable. Here's another way to say it. How many stadiums would you never be able to say the Bills took it over? It doesn't feel like I've ever heard the Bills take over Arrowhead.
There's not many. No, never. You never. I don't think you can even really get. It's hard to get a ticket there, isn't it? I think I've had friends that have tried to do it, and it's not, like, the easiest thing in the world. Like, they just don't sell their tickets, I guess, nearly as often.
Yeah.
As, like, that's kind of like here, right? Like, when I'm at the Dolphins game last week and you're looking around the crowd, there's like a teal jacket here, a teal jacket there, and that's Miami, but Pittsburgh, maybe you get this a little bit in Buffalo.
Some. It's probably
Pittsburgh, you get a little bit of a traveling fan base, but that might be it. Like, there's not much.
The Browns would come quite a bit. The Patriots, I mean, back in the drought, Patriots would have a lot of fans here, which was kind of, you know.
They blended in a little more with the colors.
True. I don't know how many takeovers there are. Pittsburgh took over Vegas. Everybody takes over Vegas. Everybody takes over
LA.
Everybody takes over. You know, Tennessee, it's another one.
Yep.
You know, these are destination cities, and it's not like, I mean, if I can say this, I don't know that it's Buffalo and Kansas City are destination cities in the same way. They might be destination games and tailgates. Like, coming to a Bills game is absolutely a bucket list for a lot of football fans.
It's on my bucket list. I know we joke about Arrowhead Stadium, but I would like to go to a game there before they close it, which is probably within a decade. Right? They're talking about a new stadium.
I feel like if they show one more on television, I'll be able to map out the entire stadium. This week they're not at Arrowhead.
It's like playing the simulator. It's like, "Oh, I know
16 at Valhalla.
Yeah, I know Valhalla. Yeah. I've played it like 19 times.
Right. That's life at Arrowhead these days.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Bills, Chiefs, and like I said, it's kind of like a football Wednesday show because we've got so much to get to with regard to the Bills and Chiefs.
It's our big turn to the next game.
Yeah.
Although this one we kind of already have done a little bit before because of just the magnitude of it.
Not just a little bit, but there's some numbers on just how much these two teams have played one another. CBS had the stat yesterday about the number of times the Bills and Chiefs have played each other in the last 5 years, which is this. Only two pairs of quarterbacks from different divisions have met 8 times in a 5-year span.
I'm guessing Manning and Brady is one of them.
Yep.
Okay.
The other one is Allen and Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. In division, you get a lot of these, but two quarterbacks from different divisions 8 times in 5 years. And let's be real, don't we all think it's going to be 9 times in 5 years? There's a real good chance that they'll play this time, and then they'll play sometime in January.
Mm-hmm. There is a pretty good chance.
Who's more likely to not be there is a fun question. Who won't fill their end of the bargain?
Uh-huh.
Bills or Chiefs?
Well, I mean, what's most likely? The Bills are going to be the 2 seed, so you wouldn't play them until the AFC Championship, which the Bills have not played in 4 years, versus the Chiefs have played there
every year that Mahomes has been a starter.
That's right, right? There isn't even an off year?
Nope.
He's been in the AFC Championship every year.
Every year.
So, kind of nuts to say it wouldn't be the Chiefs, I think.
They're due.
I think they're due to lose regular season games. I don't know how I feel about picking them to lose a playoff game to, like, the Chargers or something. Well, I guess round 2.
Don't sleep on the Chargers.
Baltimore, one of these teams. I would need them to get knocked out.
Pittsburgh,
you know,
Baltimore.
If I could hire Cincinnati to get in there and somehow not play them which I don't know if that's really even possible. Can I avoid Cincinnati and have Cincinnati play the Chiefs because they play them tough every single time? The point, the stats on those two teams, the Bills might be similar, actually. I'll have to look. Actually, maybe that is, I've seen this about the Bills, too. But the Bengals, I know, like, the point differential is tied in, like, their last five meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Chiefs and Bengals, it's like 310 to 311. Like, it's like the same exact score over a five-game sample. And if really, if you do that, including the playoff games, isn't it about the same? That's the thing. Like, you got to separate, though, the playoff games from the regular season games. But if you just put up, don't worry about when the games are, Allen's record against Mahomes, where are they right now? Are they 500?
They are 4-3. I'm sorry, Allen is 3-4 against Mahomes.
3-4?
Yes. Three losses in the postseason.
Yeah.
So that means he's 3-1 in the regular season. They've won three times in Arrowhead, and they lost here, and that's it.
Which, for all of the games basically being at Arrowhead, that's actually that's pretty good record.
To be 3-1 against Mahomes in the regular season itself.
Yeah.
And nobody else is touching that.
They really are, not to start here, but if you need another reason to be frustrated about 13 seconds, they are, this is the Chiefs though, right? This is the Chiefs every week. This is the Chiefs every game. You could say this about them in a million different ways, but okay, here's another one. They're like two plays away. They are really like two plays away from like a five-game winning streak against the Chiefs, right?
Yep.
Like last week, year's playoff game, you could find a play or two here and there to kind of flip that result, and then 13 seconds is 13 seconds. And then you've won three regular season games against them. Like, they really are that close from...
to owning the Chiefs.
Owning them,
yeah.
But it's the opposite, because they have the playoff wins.
Yep. So I found a number, and I got to this a little bit yesterday about Bills-Chiefs, and I want to get you the stats on it, because I went back far enough. In the last five games he has played against the Chiefs, Josh Allen has carried the ball 56 times.
Mm-hmm.
Five games, 56 times, 289 yards. Joe, he does not have 10 carries in a game this year. Allen doesn't. The last five times he's played the Chiefs, 11, 11, 12, 10, and 12.
Mm-hmm.
So you get double-digit carries. We're not talking about, oh, there were a couple of kneel-downs in there. Also, how many kneel-downs have there been against the Chiefs? Like, these games go to the wire, whether it's a kick or whatever,
right,
or the Bills scoring late or the Chiefs scoring late and the Bills running out of gas. But 11, 11, 12, 10, and 12. So I want to go ahead and say this. You know, we're just fresh off an election where I got Steve Kornacki looking at a county and saying, this might tell me a lot about the whole big picture, right? If Sunday happens and Josh Allen runs the ball three times,
mm-hmm,
I might be ready to say to you, I don't think the Bills took the game as seriously as we thought they would. Which is kind of like blasphemy, right?
Yeah.
Or I don't think Allen was as keyed up as he would be if it really mattered as much as we think it did.
Right.
They're at home. They want to win the game. All the conversations about, like, pull out all the stops, what those numbers get to me, like 11, 11, 12, 10, 12, when they play that team, they are either calling runs for him or he is saying, bleep it, I'll do it myself, and jumping over dudes.
Right.
What's his over-under on carries for Sunday? We joked about this yesterday. Is it 9.5? Because it probably should be.
I guarantee you, though, it's not that high. It's good, which is probably a representation more of this year. Specifically, he's not running it more.
He's not running it. Last year, I looked into this. Last year, he had three games where he carried the ball 10 times or more.
Yeah.
One was the Chiefs game.
Mm-hmm.
The other two were the last two games of the year. What was that? Season on the line. He doesn't, under Joe Brady, he does not run it as much as he used to. Unless they're playing for their lives.
Is that, though, a design of the offense? Because there's more quick hitters, there's more screens going on right now than normal.
Probably.
There's more around the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. There'll be more carries for running backs. The other thing about that those numbers, 11, 11, 12, 10, 12, he was the leading ball carrier in all but one.
Mm-hmm.
What are the chances that Sunday Josh Allen leads them in carries? Zero? Like, they're going to give the ball to James Cook and Ray Davis. They're going to try to run. I don't feel like there's any chance, I mean, sure, there's some chance, that Allen is, the game ends and Allen has 15 carries to James Cook's 6.
No, I don't think. That would, to me, say they got behind and they couldn't run the ball with Cook, so a lot of those 15 would be scrambles. That would be my...
Yeah.
If you told me that's how the stats are going to play out, I would guess the Chiefs got in front of you, and you had to play catch-up.
Which almost never happens.
The Bills, not in this matchup.
The Bills do not get blown out by this team. The time they lost the most was the AFC Championship game. They had a 9-0 lead.
Right.
And then the Chiefs scored 21 in a row.
Right.
And the Bills got roasted for not going for fourth downs, kicking field goals. That's one spot that McDermott has changed quite a bit. Like, don't you feel like if that game were a do-over, McDermott would be going for more fourth downs instead of just kicking field goals? Possibly. But the matchup, the way that it plays out, it is rarely they're trying to catch up. The last time they were down multiple scores and tried to catch up was 13 seconds.
Yeah, they were down 9 in the third quarter.
They were slowly chipping away at that, and they had to get two-point conversions and hold them to field goals.
And they needed a 75-yard touchdown to Gabe Davis.
Yeah.
They needed a big play right there.
Because they had a couple drives in the middle of the game where they ran the ball and punted.
Yeah. There are no... The book I'm looking at, the only over-under on rush attempts for this game listed right now is James Cook at 13.5. And Allen is at 33.5 total rushing yards for his over-under. So he's definitely under Cook for that. Do you want to come out running the ball against this team, though? Is that what's working against them defensively? Is anything working against them defensively? And also, like, to me, it's tough to figure out yet what I want to see them do offensively and what I think they're going to want to do offensively, when I have no idea who they're going to have for Allen to throw the football to on Sunday. Do they have Cooper? Do they have Kincaid? We know they don't have Coleman, but Cooper really might be the big one. Like, I don't even know how fair it would be to ask him to be like a major part of the game plan in this matchup. Missing 2 weeks, still only playing 2 games with the team, hasn't been here all year for the playbook and whatnot. But we know he's a good player and a very good player. And if he's out there, you know, like that might change a lot for me. Like, I don't know what you do. I think you might have to play that more simplistic. I bet they would definitely do this too. The more simplistic, run the ball on first down all the time, screens to Shakir, and try to grind out a 20-17 win. And maybe that's not too different if Cooper's in there, but I feel like your game script, there's more potential to score more if you have Cooper out there. And without him, I don't think you don't have options.
Josh writes in, he has the inactive list from that playoff game last year.
Yeah.
Because Gabe was inactive.
Right.
So maybe that's, you know, down Coleman, you're down Gabe. Okay, call that a wash.
Sherfield started. Trent Sherfield started that game.
There's another player that missed that game that I forget missed that game all the time. Who missed that game?
The Chief game?
Yeah, the playoff game.
Other than the linebackers?
Terrell Bernard out. Yeah. Bale Inspector out. Matt Milano, of course, out.
Yeah.
Yep. There are two more players on defense that were missing that day, and one that I always forget.
Defensively, were they missing a corner? Who's missing?
Benford.
Benford didn't play in that game?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Okay, now it's all coming back to me.
Benford didn't play,
Douglas was playing hurt. And I think it was said after that game, like, he probably shouldn't have been playing.
Yep.
Even though they were missing Benford, he probably still shouldn't have been playing.
They're also missing Taylor Rapp.
Okay, so three players in your secondary.
That defense that day was missing Benford, Rapp, Milano, Bernard.
And pretty much Douglas.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they go...
They got lit up.
They got...
Remember the Chiefs, like they were chunk plays at a time, yards per play, they were way above the Bills, right?
MVS beat them. Yep.
Yeah. That's a big difference.
Yeah.
I mean, I always point to the linebackers for that, but I had not remembered their secondary being like that.
So this is the first time they'll go in really with an offense that's really banged up, maybe. I mean, again, losing Gabe Davis is a big deal when your backup is Trent Sherfield, which is where the Bills left themselves for a couple seasons, unfortunately. But
I mean,
Benford was out of that game.
Yeah, like I've just focusing on the Bills offense more and like what they could be missing in this game. But if the Bills have a full force defense, like Howard said this too yesterday, and I've heard this sentiment out there about like concern about their defense. And I'm just really not ever concerned about their defense.
I'm concerned about one thing, and that's chunk plays, because they're giving up a lot.
Okay.
They're giving up big chunk plays, but like, and then punching the ball out 2 plays later.
But Kansas City also, the type of chunk plays the Bills give up, I'm not worried about from Kansas City. Kansas City, to me, is the if the big athletic running back getting into open space. And you've had the stats on this, that the Chiefs lead the league like in 4 to 9 yard carries, and they're like dead last above 9 yards.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not worried about Kareem Hunt at this age in open space. I might be worried about him getting 5-6 yards a carry on me, but I'm not thinking he's going to run away from my defenders. So, with a full-force defense now, mostly, Milano's still not back, I know, and they're still missing a couple of linemen. Hopkins is their big difference. Hopkins had negative yardage against the Bills like 4 weeks ago. He was on the Titans. It was Mason Rudolph, but the Bills have done a pretty good job in the regular season, especially, of holding the Chiefs down offensively. And I still think what we've seen from the Chiefs is you can hold them down. You can keep this a low-scoring game. So maybe that's right to think on both sides. Maybe it's right to think this is going to be a low-scoring game.
The other thing, so to that point about how the Chiefs run the ball right now, their offense is sixth in EPA per rush.
Yeah.
They're the only team in the top 10 EPA per rush with less than 35 runs of 10 yards or more.
Right.
Now, that's kind of an elaborate way to say, basically, what you just laid out and what we had 2 weeks ago. They have 16 runs of 10-plus yards. That is the second fewest.
Just guessing, that sounds to me like their line is amazing at run blocking, and they have running backs that aren't athletic enough to take advantage of the open space.
That might be where they miss Pacheco quite a bit.
Right. And they opened the window for him yesterday, but he's not going to play Sunday.
Good.
Yeah.
When he comes back, he's going to run even more angry. That guy runs angry all the time.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, Hunt, as much as Hunt, like, he's putting up good fantasy numbers is really where it comes down to. Hunt, in his last 6 games, has only averaged 4 yards a carry once. In fact, it was 6 games ago. So 5 games in a row, Kareem Hunt, their starting running back, who has had 20 carries in 4 of those games, has averaged under 4 yards a carry.
I bet the Chiefs are, like, darlings of success rate, but not actually good plays.
They must be.
They must. Right.
I mean, 2.5 yards. Per, these are his stat lines. He's their lead running back. 14 for 35 last week against Denver. 27 for 106. 21 for 59. 22 for 78. 27 for 102. Those are Kareem Hunt's last 5 games. I don't know. I don't know how much I really want to be worried about it. I'm worried about one thing, which is the same thing I've always been worried about. It's Mahomes to Kelsey. How are they going to cover Kelsey? Are they going to get Kelsey on Dorian Williams and he's just going to eat him alive all day? Because that's what happened last year. The playoff game was a lot of, oh, your linebackers are a joke. We're just going to get Kelsey matched up on him and you're not going to be able to do anything. And that's what happened a lot in that game.
803-0550. Give us your preview of this game. How much will Josh run it? Should Josh run it? 803-0550, the phone number 1-888-550-2550. It is a cold Wednesday morning. It's going to be high of about 50. That's the good news. But as you go out, yeah, you might have to scrape a little bit. You might have to wear an extra layer. It is the real field temperature right now is, I got 31.
So the frost will melt a little bit later on. There is frost right now, though.
Yeah.
There was out there on the windows, on the grass.
Yeah, if you're still thinking you can golf, you're waiting on a frost delay. If there's any, I'm not even sure if there's any course still open. It's been nice enough.
I know a couple that are still going for another
pushing
week.
It.
Also, depending on where you live, I know in my town, the overnight parking rules got delayed a little bit.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I think it used to be my biggest enemy in the world, the overnight parking rules. Yeah. Make sure that we clear the streets to not plow them.
Right.
Really incredible.
Would have been super cool if mine was delayed. I keep forgetting about it, and every night I go out about like 7 o'clock and go, oh, yeah, my car's still on the street. I guess I should probably move that.
Yeah, we need like an app that can that can, one,
just push notification, we're going to plow tonight. Like, okay, we'll move them in.
Yeah, right, that'd exactly. And then we could do it day by day, and I can bring up the, and then I don't have to get ticketed when it was 55 degrees last year, which happened to me.
Yeah. 803-0550, our phone number, and 1-888-550-2550. It is Football Wednesday.
We need like a name for it. It's like turn the page. It's not a Tuesday though. Something with a W. Alliteration. Who's got it? Something Wednesday. We're turning the page to the Chiefs, even though we did that on Monday because the game was huge.
Is Patrick Mahomes bad now? When we get back, you might be surprised to say who is almost willing to say yes. The pretty high-profile voices in the NFL world. He's not exactly bad. He's just bad most of the time. And then he pulls it out of the fire. I'll have, play that for you and explain that when we get back. 803-0550 to join us on WGR.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
The only player with a better passing grade on third down is Joe Burrow. So Mahomes is playing generally a shadow of himself this season, but on third down is still Patrick Mahomes. His passing grade on third down is second only to Burrow. The Chiefs are basically the best third down team in the NFL on offense, and that's a large part of that is Mahomes being Mahomes. This idea that Mahomes is capable of simply turning it on when he needs to does appear to be borne out. First and second down, it's not going that well. Third down, Mahomes clicks into gear and goes, okay, let's keep the chains moving, and finds a way of making it work. So it's this weird dynamic now where the offense still isn't in sync all the time. Mahomes still isn't playing particularly well overall, but when it matters, is still making the plays.
That is Sam Monson. He and Steve Palazzolo of the Check the Mic podcast with the 33rd team.
So he's the best quarterback in the league basically on third downs, but he's terrible on first and second downs.
Yeah, isn't that the most annoying thing you can ever hear? I hope the train horn is ready.
Wah, wah.
I'm preparing myself for 1,000 third down letdowns, and I want to kind of get ahead of this. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. However this game goes, if you're calling the post-game show or you're mad about this Bills third down defense, there's a primer right there. He's not that good right now unless it's third down, and then he's amazing, which is annoying.
Can I run a theory by you? Is this the same thing that we think is going on with the Bills a little bit?
Where they're running, the Chiefs are just running it too much?
Yeah, they're running it to start games. They're running it to start drives. They're running it on first down. Are they doing the same thing that the Bills are doing? I'll look to see the numbers on like by downs and whatnot. I know, though, for a fact the Bills have a higher pass rate. That's true. They have a higher pass rate than the Chiefs do. No, never mind. The Chiefs, yeah, like the Bills are below pass rate, pass frequency over expected this year. The Bills are lower than they should be on first and 10, second and one through two, second and medium, third and short, like almost every situation. The only time the Bills are passing it more than expected is on second and long. And the Chiefs are passing it more than expected in every situation. So it's actually not true. They're not running on first down as more than the Bills are.
803-0550, 1-888-552-550. One thing I had for you, when Allen plays the Chiefs, he gets double-digit carries.
Yeah.
I had somebody write in, Pepe writes in, would be surprised if he has more than 7. maybe he won't have that many runs, but this is, the to me, a true test. If Josh Allen runs the ball four times, then the Bills have actively reined him in to a, I mean, I don't want to say like a crazy degree.
Isn't the game just going really well if he only has seven carries? Isn't that all that would happen?
Or they've found a way to bottle him up and not let him run the ball 10 times. But Even that, if he has four carries, wouldn't you be shocked if he doesn't have three QB power runs? The Bills ran him on QB power against Miami 2 weeks ago.
They did, and when they were up, I think.
On a third down in the red zone.
Yeah.
And it didn't work. I just think that this is what they're going to do. It's Joe Brady instead of Ken Dorsey or Brian Daboll. But when they play the Chiefs, they think one of our best plans is to have him run. And listen, the Bills might think that's their best chance and best play every week. It just might be that the Chiefs are one of the few teams they feel like it's worth doing it against.
Well, in the QB power run, let's be real, they're not really hiding anything with that run.
No, right? That's like, right.
The league is not going to be surprised when you get to the playoffs. Like, oh, Allen's running QB run. What do we do? Like, he's run it a million times in his career. He's been running it for 7 years.
And that's just a numbers game. We have a running quarterback who, you know, turn him into a running back and get 10 hats on 10 hats and have him go one-on-one.
Yeah, and I'm looking from, like, last year. Like, Allen had carries. It wasn't, you know, oh, the game's going well. The game is not going the way maybe we hoped, or it's not going perfect. Let's start running them in the second half. Like, he was running the ball in the first half of that game. They called actually a designed run. It looks like on his second drive, he had a couple of scrambles there. There was another designed run in the second quarter. So last year, like, the score was 0-0 and they were running him on designed runs. So they weren't waiting to see how the game went.
Yeah.
At least last year they weren't. Last year, though, they were 6-6. So,
right, when it got desperate, did it become running more?
That's definitely what happened as the season progressed last year.
Because the last two games of the season, he had 10 carries plus against both New England and Miami.
Yeah, we had talked about earlier in that year that there were like no design runs.
Yeah.
Nothing the first half of that year under Dorsey. And then they really started going after it a little more at the second half.
It is, I mean, really, look at this. Here's what you get from Allen in the second half of that season. So early in the year, it's 6-3-3-4-4-2-7-7-8, then 4-5-9-10-8-5-11-15-8-12.
Yeah, I mean, those numbers at the end are way bigger. They're just clearly higher. Yeah. They needed it.
He ran 12 times in the playoff game.
Against the Chiefs?
Yeah. 12 for 72 and two touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Paul in Akron's going to join us. Hey, Paul, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm headed to the game. Jeremy, I know you got tickets. You'll be there. I would love to see just a good, clean game without the referees deciding a game. If you guys get a chance, I want you to take a look at the game, October 8th, 2023, against the Vikings. The Kansas City Chiefs had three penalties on a play, one including a guy taking off his helmet in the end zone, and they threw a flag for pass interference. They picked it up, and the game was over. The quarterback was obliterated on the play, and there was no call. There should have been three penalties, and they didn't call any of them. I want you to take a look at that game, and you guys get a second. And today is a 7-year anniversary of the game against New Orleans, where the streaker ran across the field. I don't know if you guys remember that, but today's 7 years since the day that happened. I remember that was big news 7 years ago, but you guys have a good morning, and I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Paul. I remember the streaker. I don't remember it being that Saints game.
Yeah, I don't either.
That's the game they get absolutely blown out by the Saints, and that gets Tyrod benched.
And the Saints run like 30 runs in a row.
They did.
They couldn't stop them. Yeah.
That was one of those games I remember very clearly how I felt the next day, which was everyone's going to make a bunch of headlines about how they got run on for 190 yards.
Mm.
But my bigger concern was how the quarterback played. I mean, listen, benching Tyrod, going to Peterman, didn't work out. But to me, they must have seen Peterman. Not that we're going to like rehash Peterman here, but hey, whatever. Like they'd seen him in practice and liked enough of him to say we got to do better at the quarterback position. Because as much as Tyrod was a game manager, I remember that game specifically watching and thinking, look at what Drew Brees can do and how he can just pick up a 3rd and 12. And the Bills are dead at this position. And the bigger headline was they got run on for 190, but that doesn't happen unless your quarterback can't play. And that day he could not play. What was his stat line for that game?
9 of 18 for 56 yards and a touchdown.
56 yards.
He did get benched sometime in the second half. Peterman did play that game.
56 yards.
Yeah.
Remember that life? All due respect to Tyrod.
Yeah. Peterman was 7 of 10, 79 yards and a touchdown in that game.
Thanks. Thanks, Paul. Question for you. Because, you know, you've got your people that are worried about officiating. I am, when it comes to officials, like, I will self-report as being, whether it's, I don't want to say I'm unique or a unicorn, but I live in such a different world than people with officiating.
Mm-hmm.
Paul mentions the guy takes his helmet off in the end zone. Maybe he's referencing a play like a guy celebrating. Tyler Bass, when he celebrated hitting the 61-yarder against the Dolphins, nearly took his helmet off.
He looked
didn't.
Like he was about to, and like between him realizing and Sam Martin maybe at the same time, it didn't happen.
Which could have been a 15-yard penalty. To me, if he had taken it off and they don't call it, and you're a Dolphins fan complaining about that, you're just a, I don't want to say you're a total loser. I am not here to go for the, is litigious the word I want? I'm not here to call, oh, you did the thing, penalties. I have no interest in them at all. I'm spirit of the game penalties all the time. That's where I live. It's why I don't like the offside challenge. It's why when the Sabres challenged a hand pass, I wanted to leave the building. Like, I can't, I think sports and replay have lost the plot on sports. And penalties are now approaching this as well. I mean, you hear me all the time complaining about Gene Steratore. It drives me nuts. I know that in the Bengals game against the Ravens, Burrow got hit on the helmet after a pass. And, you know, if you're a Bengals fan, you're furious about that. Like, all right, I get it. It's fine. I can't be bothered with endlessly complaining about how they missed this thing. Because I'd really like there to be fewer calls altogether, less attention paid to officials. So I have a very high bar to reach. To come in Monday after this Bills-Chiefs game and complain about the officials, I might have the highest bar of anyone out there. I know there are going to be calls that are
Don't the Chiefs kind of clear it sometimes, though?
Sure.
They get calls. They get calls a lot. Not all the time. The reason why I'm not, like, obsessive about it going into this game, actually, honestly, what helped me is that we had that game on from last year at the end where the Bills got
an egregious
roughing the passer call on the other side to go their favor. And then, obviously, the Kadarius Toney offside call, which was right.
That's right.
Could
I give you a working theory why it feels like the Chiefs get all the calls? They don't. They just get all the wins. You remember the calls when the team wins, and they win the most. And that's why they get all the calls. Aren't there Dolphins fans that think the Bills get all the calls? Josh Allen gets all the calls. He flops all the time. Find a Dolphins cut-up of all of Josh Allen's flops. They go crazy about it.
Yeah.
Getting all the calls is getting all the wins. No one says
it's the Mahomes point.
No one says the Panthers are getting all the calls this year. Or the Bears are getting all the calls this year. And I'm sure they are getting some calls. The Giants probably have a game where they got like 6 calls and still lost by 12.
Yeah. It's the Mahomes point, right?
That one, you're right about that one. Yeah. 3rd and 12, the ball falls incomplete, and Mahomes is asking for a flag, and they're going to give it.
See, there you go. Yeah, right.
You know what? You're right. You're right about that. It's the Mahomes point. I take it back. I take it all back. He's incredible at pointing and getting an official to throw a flag. He's like Obi-Wan Kenobi. You shall throw a flag.
He uses the force, and like it just lifts the flag out of the ref's pocket.
The official's like, whoa,
I guess I dropped this flag. I got to call something.
803-0550. Sal, coming up top of the hour. Jeremy and Joe for you on WGR on a turn the page Wednesday, whatever it is. Lots of football chatter coming up. Taking your calls on it as well. What do you expect from Josh? You want him to run 10 times? He always does. Against this team. 803-0550 to join us on WGR.
That came free to Patrick. He flipped it out at center. Carroll failed to catch up to it, but McCourt carries on. Here's McCourt back to Carroll. Carroll takes his shot. He scores! Perreault blasted that one in from the corner, and it's 3-2 Buffalo.
Happy birthday, Gilbert Perreault. Also, happy birthday, Lando Norris. That's all I got.
Lando Norris. I forgot about F1. Can we leave F1 to the side?
Yeah.
We're all done with that.
You know, Premier League came back. That helped.
Yeah. I got some penalty numbers
right.
for you. That hey, if you want to believe that the Chiefs get more calls than everybody else, then maybe plug your ears for just a moment, because basically the numbers show that
you're
it's
about
not.
To give them facts that they don't want.
Yeah, in fact, I'm going to make it even worse for everybody.
All
out
right,
there. All right. So, the Chiefs this year on opponent penalties. How many times their opponent has been called for penalties? 58 penalties ranks 21st in the NFL. They've been called for 45 penalties. So they are plus 13 in that department. The team who's had the most penalties called against their opponent this year is the Bills with 77.
Joe, that's because when you're good, other teams have to try to cheat. That's why. The Bills earn those penalties.
Right.
It is also... We have had two Bills games that had the most penalties in a game of the year.
The Jet game, I think, inflated this a lot.
It was the Jet game,
that.
And then what was the other one? Seattle.
Seattle.
There were two
right.
games this year where they were the most penalties in a game this year.
And I'll go even further for you on the Chief thing. In the last five seasons, the Chiefs have been called for two more penalties than their opponent.
Yeah,
and
but what are they getting opponent, called?
Like they're exactly 16th in both those departments. Like they're right in the middle of the pack for everything. So they don't get more calls.
I want you
else.
To just let us be mad about it if we want to.
That's why I said like you can just ignore this or but these are the facts.
803-0550. I've got a very quick thing for you here as well.
The right take is that every call for their opponent or for them has come in the final 2 minutes.
Right.
That's so, where you because I don't have those numbers. You can pivot there.
Did you dig into the defensive holding calls against? It's 100% of the penalties called against their opponents.
Right. They just save it to the end.
All right. I'll save the thing I've got about mid-sized sports cities for a little bit. We'll check in with Sal, Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast. Carrington Harrison, he chats Chiefs every day, talks Chiefs every day. He'll join us coming up at 8 o'clock this morning. We'll ask him how things are working with DeAndre Hopkins and whether or not Mahomes looks like, as Sam Monson said it, a shell of himself. On first and second down. 803-0550. It is Chiefs Week. Jeremy and Joe. Sal coming up next here on WGR.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.